Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Ready to find your dream home? At Wyndham Homes in Corinth, we offer quality manufactured and modular homes with unbeatable local service. Visit us on South Harper Road or online at wyndham-homes.com today.
Welcome into this Thursday edition of the Rebel Report podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are with me as you always are. Sorry we are not live tonight. Please accept my apologies, but new podcast for you, even though we are not actually doing a live stream. I appreciate you being here. Don't forget to subscribe, like, leave a comment, all that good stuff. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search the name and subscribe to it there. We are approaching yet another month with pretty incredible growth. So thank you for that and listening on your favorite podcast app. Two things to get to today with you. Number one, Dabo talks Ole Miss again. But the tone is dramatically different than the tone that you got back in January. And then we do a top five list on the radio show. Like yesterday's, we did top five favorite off-the-radar sporting events that you like to watch, non-mainstream sporting events. I had like the World's Strongest Man, the X Games, stuff like that. So we've been doing top fives. I might bring some top fives here to you this offseason as well. But today, obviously, going to be Ole Miss focused. The top five most underrated Ole Miss players going into this season. One of them is a complete cop-out, but that's okay. It's my list. You guys can make your own list. I would love to see you do that, actually. That would be great. So that's what we're talking about today on this edition of the show. If you want to get geared up for game day, the College Corner has got you covered. Just hit that QR code right there. That one right there will take you to the College Corner Store's website. They got everything that you need for game day right there. Check them out, collegecornerstore.com. This podcast, though, is presented by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. If you are doing anything involving your home or your property or your land, anything, they've got you covered literally under one gigantic roof right there just outside of Tupelo, inside of the home, home furnishings. They've got appliances. Even clothes, and the fishing section is good. Animal feed, the cheapest beer in town. Any home improvement project, they've got you covered. Anything for the garden, they've got you covered. Anything for your lawn, they've got you covered. Your hunting property, your land, whatever it is, they have got you. And most importantly, Scruggs has 0%, 0% on all of these John Deere's. And I mean zero, varying months, but 0% for all of them. Zero turn mowers, 5 series tractors, compact tractors, commercial mowers, all of those. 0% financing at Scruggs. And I mean, they really make you break the bank on the Gator. It's just 1.9% if you want a Gator as well. So great deals on all of your John Deere's right there at Scruggs. Tell them that it was me that sent you there at Scruggs in Saltillo. All right. Dabo Swinney talks Ole Miss again. As you guys know, back in January, he did the whole press conference theater with Luke Ferrelli and I've got all this and you need to go get him and all that stuff. It was a very long and pointed press conference directed straight at Ole Miss and Pete Golding and Austin Thomas involving Luke Ferrelli. Later on, we talked about it at the time. And then later on, you had Clemson was provided the opportunity through a Freedom of Information Act request to provide the receipts and the correspondence that they have had with the NCAA about Ole Miss. They denied that request. And the reason they denied that request was interesting because it was involving a student athlete and they put that student athlete on blast back in January, but denied it for that same reason. And we talked again about it at the time. It's a little odd. Wait, why don't you want to? If you say you have all these receipts and the Freedom of Information Act is a law, and you found an obscure way to not comply with the law, to not, you know, put your receipts out there for everybody to see, why didn't you do that? Here's your opportunity to tell your story publicly for everybody to see with the receipts that you claim that you have, but you didn't. Why not? Why did you choose not to do that? It's a little eyebrow raising. And then you get this yesterday. Chris Lowe is just doing an offseason of talking to coaches about varying things. Dabo, it was a long feature on Dabo. It wasn't just about Ole Miss and Luke Ferrelli and Pete Golding. It was all kinds of stuff. But here was the money quote from that article from Dabo Swinney. Quote, "I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. It's not about a certain player or anything like that. It's more, can we do this? Is this allowed? Can an NFL team right now call up the backup and say, hey, come on over here, even though he's got a contract? And so in our world, I think there just needs to be clarity on what we can and cannot do," end quote. Quick point of order on that. The NFL, you cannot do that because they have contracts, real contracts, and a collective bargaining agreement. If you want that in college, advocate for a collective bargaining agreement. This Save College Sports Act is not going to pass. And if it does, it's probably not going to hold up against legal scrutiny anyway, but it's very likely not going to pass. It is directly targeting the SEC and the Big Ten. It's not going to work. So if you want contracts, advocate for the avenue to get contracts, number one. Number two, Luke Ferrelli did not have a contract, a financial aid agreement, which is apparently reportedly the only thing that he actually signed with Clemson, is only binding school to player, not player to school. So he was not under contract. But that's getting into semantics. That's besides the point. What a dramatic shift in tone from what you saw in January to, I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. It's not about one player, guys. It's not about, I don't want anybody to get in trouble. It's not about one player. I just need to know what I'm allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do. That is a very significant shift in the tone and the rhetoric or whatever word you want to use to describe what he did back in January. And the question is, why? Why is there kind of a backpedal? I've got theories. I don't have a concrete, provable answer. So this is conjecture on my part after talking to some people. It certainly sounds, and again, maybe this is wrong. I'm not reporting this. This is just something that people have been talking about behind the scenes. There is a real chance that it was communicated to Clemson. Basically this. You sure you want to do that? Are you sure that you want to do that? Because I don't think you really want to do that. You read into that what you will. But I think that between the non-complying with the Freedom of Information Act request and now this, well, I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble here. It's not about a player. It's not about that. I don't want anybody to get in trouble. I just want some clarity. That's all. The shift in tone is not insignificant. It doesn't mean nothing. What does it mean for sure? I don't know. But I would not be surprised if there has been some back channel communication, whether it be with the ACC or I don't know from who, but I would not be surprised if there was some, you need to dial this back a little bit, because this is a road you may not want to go down on the way you're going down it. You can still, you know, there is an NCAA inquiry into Ole Miss. That is a real thing that is happening. But I do think some things have happened since that press conference that would incentivize a toning down of the conversation and the direct shots at one school and one person in particular, especially one individual player who was on your campus for just a few days. It's interesting. It is noteworthy. I don't know where this ends. I've seen a lot of people say that this will end in absolutely nothing. There will be no punishment. Nothing at all will happen. I don't know if I believe that necessarily, because the NCAA now has twice punished with a very light slap on the wrist two college football coaches now, one of them from a power conference in Kirk Ferentz. He missed the Illinois State game 2 years ago as a result of tampering. And I don't think they fought it at all, really. North Dakota also, I don't think they fought it at all, really. I think they turned themselves in, to be honest with you, if I read it correctly. So the NCAA has been able to lightly punish tampering and have not been challenged legally yet. There has been no indication at all that it will be anything more than a one-game suspension against an opponent of which you can choose, because the NCAA set that precedent with Michigan, allowing them to suspend Sharon Moore for the games that they wanted to suspend him for. So I still don't think that literally nothing is going to happen, But I don't think, as of right now, there's been any indication or sign that something significant is going to happen either. Ole Miss clearly is fighting this privately behind the scenes. Pete Golding did have some quotes at SEC meetings about it. And I think that it would be best for the SEC, to be honest with you, for this to go away as quietly as possible. I think Greg Sankey and the SEC league office is incentivized to not let this turn into what it can turn into. We'll see what happens. But that is certainly a shift in tone from Dabo Swinney about Pete Golding, going from pointing fingers directly at him and Austin Thomas and Luke Farrelly to, it's not about one player. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I just want clarity. There's a reason for that. I don't quite know what it is, but there is a reason for that. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. If you need auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, auto, home, life, or business insurance, he's got you covered anywhere in the state of Mississippi, and I mean anywhere. He's with Shelter, and they will cover you. 601-823-3500. That's the phone number, 601-823-3500. Even if you have insurance, give him a call. What's 5 minutes going to hurt you? It's not at all. It's worth your time. It's worth a phone call. Check him out. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every single day. Online banking, outstanding, 16 locations in Mississippi, local loan servicing and decision-making, because that's what they do. It's in the name. Priority One Bank will take care of you. And Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. If you're a Mississippi business that needs office tech, they've got you covered, absms.com. All right, top five, my top five list. We're going to do a few of these this summer. We did them last year on the radio show, had a really good time. Our audience liked it. We did, so far this week, we have done top five least favorite things about college football season. And we have done top five off the radar sporting events. So we've had some fun with it, and we'll keep doing that. I want to do that with you here as well. Top five most underrated players for Ole Miss going into this season. Number five is a cop-out, but I do think because of all of the conversation around this team, Trinidad, Lacy, Trinidad, Lacy, Trinidad, Lacy, look at Trinidad, look at Lacy, and then on defense, oh, Will Eckel's going to be a top 15 pick. They got Sonny P over there. Nobody is talking enough about Deuce Alexander, so he's number five. Again, I know this is a cop-out a little bit. Almost 700 receiving yards last year for Ole Miss, averaged 16 yards per catch, also had over 100 rushing yards last season as well. I guess the, you know, jet sweep handoffs and stuff like that, but he was vital, especially early in the season when Dejon Stribling got off to a bit of a slow start for Ole Miss last year. Deuce Alexander is going to be a massive weapon in this offense this year. The body control is great. Positioning is great. Route running, hands, speed. He's got it all, really, for Ole Miss, and he's got the makings to be a superstar for this year's team. There is so much attention being paid on quarterback and running back, and don't get me wrong, understandably so, but do not forget about what kind of receiver Deuce Alexander is and what kind of receiver he can be, and especially now with Stribling and Wallace off to the NFL, Stribling the number 33 pick in the draft, and as you heard, Alexander's still very productive last year. He's the guy now, and this is going to be his receiver room where I think he is the primary target. Now, they really like a couple of other additions they've had at wide receiver. They like Jonte Cook a lot, et cetera, et cetera. But Deuce Alexander is the best receiver on this team, I think. And he showed you that last year. And with those two guys gone, him being wide receiver one, he is ready. That's what I was trying to say. Professional talker. Can't talk. He is ready to assume that role and have a big year for Ole Miss. Don't forget about Deuce Alexander when you're having conversations this offseason. That's number five. Number four, the tight end Luke has. This is an offense that even though Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. are gone, this offense will also heavily utilize the tight end. And Luke has getting hurt in training camp last year, obviously limited his impact on last year's team, but he is a very experienced SEC tight end. 2 years at Arkansas, obviously before transferring to Ole Miss. He had almost 600 yards receiving at Arkansas with seven touchdowns in 23 and 24. So a quality tight end, had that touchdown in the playoffs that you guys saw. But they need a guy like him to step up and be valuable and productive. I know that they like Odom as well in that tight end room, but Luke Haz is a very prototypical tight end and a guy that this offense uses and a guy that this offense needs. So don't forget about Luke Haz. Daquan Wright gone, obviously off to the NFL. He had a great year last year, and I think you should expect Luke Haz to step in and be a heavily used player in this offense. Maybe not necessarily, 100 catches or anything like that this season, but I think he's going to play a pretty vital role in this offense, both in catching the football and blocking as well. So Luke Haz is my number four most underrated Ole Miss player going into this season. I keep getting his name wrong for my number three. I've looked it up, and I'm about to pronounce it wrong again. Makai, is it Burio. And see, I even wrote it down. The Florida transfer defensive tackle that you guys may remember last season, he's the one that had the interception that sealed Florida's win over Mississippi State. He's every bit of 6'5", 250, or 350. He is a huge, huge guy in the middle. And we already talk about Echols. We already talk about Franklin and what they're going to have on the edges. But they need somebody to replace Xavien Harris. And Harris, obviously, off to the NFL now as well. So whether it's him or maybe Jan Brown or Jaheim Otis, but they need somebody next to Echols to be impactful. Because it just picture this for a second. A situation in where an offensive line can't bring extra bodies to stop Will Echols because the guy next to him is also a very effective defensive lineman that you can't put on an island yourself. This is, at that size, he's not going to be like, a big time pass rusher or anything like that, but a guy that requires the attention that he has and can is super important for this defensive line, especially when you've got what you've got possibly on the edges. There's a chance that this is a high-quality defensive line, but they need the guy next to Will Echols to be super impactful, effective, and somebody that can draw attention. I think this is a guy that can do it. They've got some depth there at defensive tackle right now. Don't forget about Maddox and Beavers as well. I mean, they're pretty deep in that tackle rotation, it seems. All of them blue chip prospects coming out of high school, literally all of them. But I think that's going to be the guy that's going to start. And that's going to be the guy next to Echols that can really help take some pressure off of him and Franklin and cause problems for opposing offensive lines. Number three could have gone a couple of different directions. There's a lot of conversation this offseason about Jay Crawford or maybe Edwin Joseph, the transfers coming in, but Antonio Kite is the guy that I'm choosing for number two. You could also go Jalen Braxton maybe, but I think Kite, Kite's going to be a starter opposite Crawford, is a guy that Ole Miss is really going to need this year to be good. Whoever's going to be opposite Crawford. And Kite had a good season last season for Ole Miss. Didn't get a whole lot of fanfare when he transferred. At least I don't think anyway. But that is somebody that, again, they have... they had an issue in the secondary last year in terms of high-level talent. They seem to have addressed that in the transfer portal, but they do need one of those two guys, returners, to step up and be a quality defensive back. Both of, they frankly need both of them, rotation and all that stuff, to step up and continue to be a serviceable to good defensive back. Because that's something that they lacked last year consistently was secondary play. They need these two returners to step up. I went with Kite for number two, but either one applies there. Those guys need to take a step forward if they're going to continue to be what they think they can be defensively this season. Number one, I'm going the man in the middle, the veteran center, Bryson Sanders, might be one of the most underrated Ole Miss players going into this season. The interior three on the offensive line, all returning, is big. But a guy like Sanders, who was very very vocal, very outspoken about the team and the way things went down and kind of holding things together, was a big veteran, like emotional presence on the team. But also a guy, an experienced center like that, who is smart but also a quality player, is such an anchor for an offense, and especially an offensive line that is replacing both of their tackles. What a great help in that room, not only just like the person, the presence as a leader, but also the player at center to help anchor that offensive line. He's huge. And offensive linemen don't really get much of the glory anyway. The centers rarely do. And so I think Bryson Sanders deserves a little bit of love here for being a guy that is coming back to Ole Miss, started every game last season, been in the program for a while, had offers to go elsewhere this offseason, didn't even really consider them in any way because he wanted to stay right where he was. Vocal leader, quality player, anchor on the offensive line. Don't forget about the big guys when you're talking about important players on a team. Bryson Sanders, my number one most underrated Ole Miss player going into this season. Sorry we're not live tonight, but I appreciate you guys watching, tuning in, listening, all that stuff. Don't forget to subscribe. I will see you live on Sunday night. Yes, we're going to go live on Father's Day, but it'll be late. All the kids will be in bed by the time we go live. So I will see you guys on Sunday, live on Sunday. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.